Community that continues a great deal of discussion regarding the distribution of blueprint money. In light of that, we felt important enough to re-air conversations we've had of late with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow and Commissioner Christian Dozier. Stay with me. You're going to learn a lot.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, we have the opportunity to gather, my friend, as we do so reverently from week to week with this little broadcast we call Tallahassee Talks. So we have it with the blueprint money and this award that was granted to Florida State University, the improvements scheduled for Doak Campbell Stadium, which with interest on the note amounts to $27 million. Commissioner Matlow, and Commissioner Christian Dozier both had things to say about that. And going out of that whole last couple of weeks, I've been out around town, which is my custom, in touch with a lot of local business owners. Many of them are clients of our ad agency, Capstan Marketing. So this broadcast, in full transparency, is that the idea? Is the production of Spatterwork Media, one of Alcom's four, and Capstan Marketing is another. Then you have Bohola Communications and the Mosa Design Group that does video and audio and graphic, web design, all kinds of neat stuff they do. So we're the creators and the deliverers of and the media outlets for and the marketing and PR managers that have in mind one mission, and that is to help especially local business grow and remain profitable and retain their clients, customers, patients, and members. It's all about our devotion, honestly, to the people. Have you noticed that in organizations, it seems to me, bear with me here, but I think in organizations where you have people like a commissioner, an educator, maybe it's a, social service provider, people who are intent in their effort to provide for people, and the people really dominate the conversation. You know, the folks that are on the receiving end of the students, the citizens, the employees, yeah, the customers, the patients. When the people are more important than the idea, when ideas are more important than people, I think we kind of get it backwards, because I think what can happen very quickly, and I lived in this for my entire life. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, went through several Christian churches through my upbringing, through my youth and teens and into my adulthood. I pastored in four different churches in four different denominations over a period of about, 20, 30 years. And they were all the same. I mean, they had different, names across the banner at the across the doorway, and they had, different artwork, and they sang some of the same, some different songs, but they all kind of came down to the same thing, which was their ideas were more important than anything else. What they believed was more important than anybody else. And, if you wanted to be part of their club, you had to get in line with those ideas. And if you didn't, well, then, here's the door. Frankly, that was just kind of the way it works there and did then. And certainly churches are not, exclusive in that. Heavens no. It's kind of what we do, right? So if you are dogmatic in your beliefs about, or your ideas, we'll say, about anything, whatever. So my wife loves to enjoy the visitation of wildlife in our little estate, Surnegard. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? I'm impressed. But we have then this parade of deer and foxes and, woodpeckers of various kinds. And the customary raccoons and squirrels and all that. A huge variety of birds, including a flock of wild turkeys that seem to really like hanging out around, which is interesting to see when the foxes are on site as well. And they all just sort of respect one another's space, social distancing and all that. So here she is, my wife, loving God's creation, loving these animals. And so she shares on her social media pages some photos of, these cute little foxes and they're visiting and such. And immediately you have people that just rise up in their criticism of the fact that she actually put a few peanuts out there. Natural, raw, unsalted. Okay, come on. And she starts getting, some shade thrown at her. A few others who themselves are practicing wilding, as it's called, kind of stepped in and said, "No, wait a minute, ease up, folks. A few peanuts is not going to ruin the natural order of things." All that to tell you, whatever you find in your code book that you think is just, to live for and to die with, and you're just, like I say, sort of dogmatic about the whole thing, that ideas trump every other consideration. They override personal need. They override personal interests. People are just not that important to you. Okay, well, again, that's nothing new. The world's history is full of that. But isn't it refreshing to find people who stop and say, you know what? I don't believe what you believe, and I don't practice what you do, and I don't really have any interest in your ideas. But you know what? You're just another person like me, and we can coexist. And, that seems to be a fair statement when you think about it, and we've got plenty of examples of that, even in our national history, where people decided, let's just get along here. Reading a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt. I'm probably paraphrasing here quite a bit, but basically his message was, we can be different, and yet we can get along. We can be united. Isn't that what E Pluribus Unum is all about? But see, that notion only really works if the people we're talking about, that's you and me, are more important than our respective ideas. And if we happen to agree on some things, well, then good for us. But if we are devoted to this notion that providing the greatest good for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time is really our mantra, notice, people, well then, who's to argue with that? So it is that we're going to hear from Commissioner Jeremy Matlow in this re-airing of a conversation we had here just a while back. You stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Jeremy Matlow is city commissioner for seat 3, has been serving the people of Tallahassee since 2018. Not an experienced, long-standing politician. This is a guy who grew up in Tallahassee, went to Oak Ridge Elementary School in Sealy, grew up in poverty. He is personally acquainted with what it's like to question whether or not you're going to eat today or even next week. He's a guy who decided then somewhere along his path in his youth, he wanted more. He could do better. And my goodness, he set out on a course that has brought him to a place of not only economic success, financial success, owner of Gain Street Pies, co-owner, along with a couple of other businesses, and I've forgotten now, but we'll get into that. Jeremy Matlow is a friend of this show. Has proven himself to be a friend of the people. And I would say that with some qualification. I think he's a friend of the common people, people like me, who just are trying to do our best to get along and not asking for a whole lot of breaks, just asking for a fair playing ground, right? Level playing ground. So let's welcome Jeremy Matlow, our guest today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Mr. Commissioner, you look well considering the veracity and the demands of your job, several hats that you wear. How's the pizza place doing?
It's doing great.
Or should I just call you the pizza guy? Would that be?
That's going around, yeah. Pizza maker, pizza guy, yeah, all the names.
Well, see, I look at that and go, my God, that's much more impressive than being a commissioner. I mean,
I'd rather not be called a politician, so I'll take pizza maker.
Pizza guy. Well, as long as your pizza is world class, I think that that's okay. And so now you know my bias. If you haven't had Gain Street Pies pizza, well, come on, brother. We got business to talk about, and the business is about as serious, in my mind, as we've experienced as a community in decades. So there's a one penny tax that goes into this blueprint fund. It's our money. And we had this vote recently in which there was a tremendous amount of involvement on a lot of topics. Probably the most noted was the decision to award $27 million, I think, to the folks at Doak Campbell Stadium, Florida State University, wanting to make improvements. Now, in the 40 years I've been here, Commissioner, I don't think I've ever seen a collective, a level of disgust and outcry over such a call. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we've heard from, you know, all sections of our community, across the spectrum, conservatives, Democrats, rich, poor, you know, all saying, you know, what the heck do you, what are you guys thinking? Well, how could this move forward? And I, you know, you opened the segment talking about what our community's been through. And when you really start to think about corruption, I always put things in three categories. There's what's illegal, there's what's unethical, and there's just what's wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be legal, but it's wrong. And I think this stadium vote certainly falls into what's wrong. And, you know, people get caught up into, you know, who went to jail, who went to prison. But really, when people want an ethical government, it's because they want their government to work for the people.
Yes.
They want it to work for all of us, right?
Yes.
They don't want it to, they don't want pay-to-play, certainly, directing public resources to, you know, the highest bidder. But when you look at something like the stadium, I think we all kind of felt betrayed.
Yeah.
These are our tax dollars. We were committed to work on infrastructure projects and economic development. And this isn't a small project by any means. You said $27 million. It's actually $20 million, but we're paying $27 million because we haven't collected the tax yet. We are borrowing money to give to Florida State when we all know that they could raise.
I think you said at one point it's like your kids asking for lunch money, but you're going to go over here and take out a loan so that you can install a saltwater pool in your neighbor's yard.
That's exactly it. Right. Or your roof is leaking and you need to desperately repair your own roof and you're borrowing money to do a luxury product in your neighbor's yard. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Those are the questions.
So then, okay, the nonsensical aspects are clear. My psychology professor in college said, if you can't find a rational explanation, look for an irrational one. So what's the irrational explanation?
The irrational, I mean, it may sound rational depending on how you look at it, but it's just the power imbalance. You know, people at the top are so used to being able to guide public policy. We've seen
right.
that through infrastructure right. projects as well. But there's a network at the top of our city that gets what they want.
In fact, let me rephrase that. Rather than the notion of being irrational, you said there's illegal, unethical, and then it's just wrong. And that sense of right and wrong is based in, I guess, our perception of the greatest need for the greatest number of people that we can address over the greatest length of time. Here, none of that is being given any kind of credence.
Yeah, not at all, and almost cynically so. People who are in need, who are struggling, are being used as sort of pawns to justify giving this money away. We've heard references to this being the stadium being in 32304,
right.
The poorest zip code
right.
In the state of Florida. I mean, how cynical do you have to be to make an argument on the backs of the poor to justify $20 million
yeah.
infrastructure stadium improvements?
I mean, one of our other guests today is Valerie Schoon. And Valerie, as you know quite well, is a documentarian, Florida State professor in the film school over there, has this Invisible History documentary. In fact, it was shown just this last Friday night at Cascades Park to the public free of charge. I can't help but draw the line there between what is our cultural history. In as much as Leon County historically had more plantations than any other in the state, and that somehow Tallahassee never lost the war, we just went on doing business as we have done for the last 150, 200 years, right? With that in mind, here we have a situation where people just act like, well, no, this is a good thing. It's okay that we are oppressing and abusing and denying and ignoring the needs of the vast majority of people.
That's the unfortunate state of affairs. I think when you look at this tax specifically, this was approved by the voters, and it was delivered on a promise that we are going to work towards certain goals.
The 1%, yeah.
Right, and that would be, you know, infrastructure goals, water quality, protecting our environment, and economic development, primarily to create jobs and create build wealth in our communities. So I think that is what makes this particular vote so I guess I'll say painful, especially since the proponents of it never even justified it. You know, I think the mayor famously said, you're either with Florida State or you're not.
We're talking with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. You stay with me. We've got more on this topic and a few other ideas.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Matlow. He has decided that he's going to pursue re-election. And I think for those of us who are looking at what you have been willing to endure, you've taken a lot of public criticism and what I could consider kind of personal slurs and such, which, you know, nobody had to warn you that that might happen. You went in with eyes wide open, and to my way of thinking thus far, you've handled it rather in a rather gentlemanly fashion. But I wonder too, when does it come about for you? And I don't know if this is a weekly, monthly, daily, whatever. Do you just say, you know what, I'm done? And if this is how you guys want this to go, fine. Does that creep in your thinking, or are you resolute?
I ran for office for one reason, and that was to make meaningful change in the city of Tallahassee. So a lot of the times we get stuck in the conversations that happen at City Hall. But, you know, the circus down there is completely unresponding and disconnected from our city as a whole. So we see these things play out. We see the crazy things that happen at Chamber of Commerce retreats and kind of this collective establishment really kind of freaking out because they've never really been challenged before, and they really haven't had to answer to the people before. And what we showed them in 2018 and then followed up in 2020, they saw that, hey, the people want a say in how our government's working. And we're seeing that grow. I think with the stadium vote, had it been 2018 when I first got there, it probably would have been a 2-10 vote.
Yeah,
they had such a stranglehold on our local government. So I'm optimistic, you know, every day. Every day they make terrible decisions like this, they're being exposed to Tallahassee for what they really are.
Are those people we're talking about, are they, I mean, I'm making the assumption here, but is it your view that these are people who just have had it their way for so long, and you say they've never really been challenged? Are they the, I guess, long time in, you know, sort of the entrenched, the generational wealth? Are they more the young entrepreneurial, you know, come to Tallahassee and make millions of dollars and you'll never pay taxes? You know, it's that kind of, and I think of JT Burnett. You know, this guy is from Monticello originally, right? And didn't inherit wealth by any means. Interestingly, his father was actually in prison when he was a kid. JT, that is. So how do you characterize the people we're talking about?
Sure. I mean, it's they. It's the powers that be. It's the bankers that have been here and inherited intergenerational wealth. It's the real estate interest. It's the plantation owners who own 4,000 acres and want to guide public investment to their own property. It's when they get together, they can funnel a bunch of money into campaigns. They can pressure elected officials. But at the end of the day, that's all they can do. If people recognize it for what it is, and we've seen a huge backlash to developers that have kind of steamrolled the process, clear cut, you know, an entire forest. We used to not operate that way. There used to be a little more accountability, but over the last decade, they've really been able to consolidate power amongst, I mean, it's their own little political clique, right? And Mayor Daley is the head of it, working with Vancouver Jones to line up candidates and line up policy outside of the public eye. And I think that's what's so frightening when we look at what's played out in the newspaper and we see them hand-selecting executives to lead public institutions. We see, you know, them over text message, you know, just playing games, trading favors that was never in the public eye. So our big focus is decisions in Florida are supposed to be made in the sunshine in public, and we have to get back to doing that.
Right, right. Yeah, the sunshine laws become sort of laughable, don't they, when you have that kind of chicanery going on to me, that's just, it's arrogant. You know, it's like, you can't tell me what to do. When you look at the future, here you have the rest of this year running for office, running for re-election here. What does that future look like? What do you hope for?
Well, 2022, I'm up for re-election. We're going to win. But really, what we're looking at is growing responsible the coalition of responsible elected officials, and that's, again, it's not political party at all. Is it, there's some elected officials who just want to do the right thing deliberately and publicly, and there's others that want to take us backwards and do things the old way. So we have multiple county commission seats open, as well as the mayor and city commission seats. You know, my challenge to everybody in the community, if you want to run for office, put your name on the ballot. And if your name's already on the ballot, you know, tell us what you're about. I was heartened by the courage of a few candidates who actually came to the Blueprint meeting and put their position on record. This was the most consequential decision we've probably made
in
4 years.
Yes.
And out of all the candidates running for public office, only a few were willing to weigh in. And I think that speaks to the type of leaders they may be.
Was one of them, right?
Who's that?
Isn't O'Keefe one of those?
David O'Keefe came and spoke. Josh Johnson spoke. There were a few other candidates in attendance as well.
I got the video of O'Keefe and his address to the Joint Commission. And wow, that guy has done his homework. And he has that experience at an administrative level in his academic background. I think he's a CPA. When you think of Tallahassee, you grew up here. You grew up in poverty. What's your dream? What do you imagine Tallahassee can be? Let's give it 5, maybe even 7 years out.
Well, I think from day one, it's taking the most the issues that we need to focus on that our whole community is concerned about and elevating them to the top of the conversation. The fact that we spent 6 months talking about whether we should have cabanas and pleather seats and luxury stadium seating at Doak Campbell Stadium, and we've had very few conversations about affordable housing, and the fact that the market's so crazy people can't even afford to purchase a home. Renters are having their rent tripled or 30%, 40% increases. We've seen entire trailer parks of people living on the edge, really, you know, barely able to afford by having their trailers bought, and those lot rents nearly doubled. That's concerning. And there's not one issue that I think we can solve the whole problems we have in our city when we talk about economic segregation and, you know, 100 years of disinvestment in Southside neighborhoods, but we're not even having the right conversations.
Quote from Albert Einstein, he said, you know, intelligence, I hope I'm not misquoting him, but he said, you know, being smart, you can solve problems, but if you're a wise person, you can imagine. And he said, I'm in favor of wisdom. That goes back to, is it right or wrong? And that really just rests in the minds of us all to say, that just doesn't feel right to me, or this feels like the right thing to do for the greatest number of people. That's what we're trying to focus on here, folks. You stay with me. Commissioner Matlow is our guest. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
It has been the case for all of us in this last, let's say, year and a half, 2 years. Shutdowns, businesses have suffered, employees have left. Now we're in this great resignation period where employers are scrambling to try to get people to come back. It has reset the whole equation, I think. I think that what we hear from a lot of prospective employees is, I left that job because I put up with it for 20 years. I'm not going back. I'm not going back into, you know, being underpaid and underappreciated and overworked or even harassed, right? So here we are, Tallahassee, and we have just come through a period in this last few months, maybe the last couple of years. Whether we're a business owner or simply working out there, maybe we work for government in some capacity. Doesn't matter. We're feeling beat up, man. And now we have this 12%. Tell us about this other funding that's available, because now we're all just feeling a little edgy, I suppose, right?
Sure. So when we voted for the penny sales tax and extended blueprint, for the first time ever, there was this idea of putting 12% aside for economic development. Since I've been elected, really Commissioner Dozier has been the beating drum of how are we going to responsibly allocate these dollars? When are we going to get down to what this money is going to be spent on? Because unlike infrastructure projects, which we knew what they were, nobody knew where this 12% was going. So we started working on a strategic plan. Mm. And the strategic plan focuses on things like we need to develop our workforce. We need to invest in targeted industries like magnetics and healthcare, and really pinpointing how we grow our economy. And when that strategic plan was in operation, or being developed rather, that's when we saw this great heist, this robbery in the middle of broad daylight, when the stadium investment swooped in and took nearly 25% of the money we're going to collect in 20 years, which is before the plan was even issued. This money starts going out the door, and it was elected officials who were saying, hold on, we need to slow down the process. We need to slow down the process.
Right.
But what we really saw was to me at the staff level, some of these other things were pushed through. You know, I first learned about it when when a reporter asked me if Blueprint was going to be funding Doak Campbell before our staff had even told us about it.
Wow.
Because Mr. Pinnegree, who heads the department, you know, this is the same gentleman who Scott Maddox famously texted, "Blueprint is yours," when he got the job, was working behind the scenes to make this happen. So I think at the elected official level, we really wanted to have the conversation responsibly, slow it down, allocate these dollars responsibly. Commissioner Dozier has been a strong advocate for some of those existing, you know, investing in the mag lab, you know, mm-hmm. getting magnetics investments, hemp, you know, all these industries we can bring. And from my perspective, I think we should be doing some of those things. But also in 2014, the whole community didn't get an opportunity to really say how they wanted that 12% spent. Right. So I think if we could hit the brakes, you know, I posted on Facebook, how would you spend $20 million?
Right.
People, not surprisingly, still want to see sidewalks in their neighborhoods. Right. They still want to see bike lanes. Some want to see parks and youth athletics expanded. We looked at small business loans and grants. We could help 2,000 startups in our community get a foot in the door.
I've always thought we have one Domi station. Why don't we have 10? Why can't we have satellite locations around the county where if you have a business idea, you have some ambition, you're looking for exposure, training, opportunity, even a little inspiration. I mean, you might be the next person to invent, I don't know, a pizza place. I mean, you've come from that sort of take what you have in your hands, work with it, and make something, right? Why can't we encourage that?
There's hundreds of thousands of people in our county. How many of them do you think have a good idea with a little bit of help could make something great happen? You know, we are the testament as a business to somewhat government assistance. I didn't have the credit to go to traditional banks and get a loan to open our business. We did need a $10,000 loan, not a grant like Florida State got, a loan, was repaid within 2 years for just $10,000, a seemingly small amount of money. But because of that assistance, you know, we've been able to grow and, you know, do millions and millions of dollars per year and employ 100 people. Now magnify that. We're missing so much of our potential because of the same people want to take us backwards and really only care about pushing the status quo. I mean, I think the bottom line of all this entire conversation is it has to come from the very top. You know, we've had this issue really championed by Mayor John Daley, who ran on a platform of leadership you can trust.
Well, who can trust that leadership? That's the question. Because you got some people who seem to trust him immensely, and the rest of us are starting to scratch our heads at the least.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So I think, you know, circling back to what we were saying earlier, it's not about voting for this particular project. It's about voting for elected officials who understand why this is wrong.
Going back to the right and the wrong issues, it's like, hey, man, this is a great town for people who have money, who want to make money. And then we have all these people, these pesky people who just live here, you know, and they run the state bureaus and they work the businesses and they feed the kids and they teach the schools. Okay, but they're not really central to our concern. I mean, that sounds pretty cynical, but after being here 40 years, I mean, I'm kind of there.
Yeah, I think some people see a homeless individual and think we should really find shelter for that person. And other people think, I wish I didn't have to see that person.
Yeah. All I need is just a couple of folks to say, hey, here's a $10,000 loan. Or here's an idea for a business. Yeah.
And interestingly, if you go with the first method, it solves the problem
right
on the tail end.
Right. Folks, we have Jeremy Matlow here today talking at length with us about a number of topics that if your eyes weren't tearing up already, right? I hope that at this point you are moved to say, we can do better and we deserve better as a people, the people who are Tallahassee. Commissioner, thank you, my friend. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So there you have it, my friend, this conversation with Jeremy Matlow, Commissioner, Seat 3 for the City of Tallahassee. In our re-airing of this, stay with me for the second hour coming up right after this.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the second hour, my friend. Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Online at tallahasseetalks.com. Archive page where you can go and listen to any of those shows you may have missed or would like to hear again. Not a bad idea to subscribe to the podcast, which we've done it that way too. So you can, we've taken the show and formatted it into a podcast option. And you can use whatever podcast app you have on your phone. So that's a cool thing, right? And I'm glad that we have the chance to be able to keep you informed of things like Leon County announcing their Spring Soul Festival coming up April 7 at the Capital City Amphitheater. That's in Cascades Park, of course. The Spring Soul Festival featuring Southern Soul singer King George. And that's going to happen April 7th, which is a Thursday. Tickets are on sale now. If you want to buy tickets, you go to capitalcityamphitheater.com. Very good. And what else do I have here? This regards the witness to history, something I've been telling you about the last several weeks when Barbara Goldstein was with us here, I think about a month ago. Witness to history, the Holocaust remembered by Florida survivors. Well, the dates have been adjusted just slightly, originally scheduled for the 15th of March. They're opening on the 21st. And the exhibit will continue through April the 29th. So March 21 through April 29 at Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development Building. You want to take this in, folks. It's a remarkable collection. And it really chronicles the fact that you had people who stood up against the Nazis during World War II. And in this exhibit, you're going to find examples of those who were perpetrators and bystanders, the upstanders and the victims. It retells how the actions of individuals, groups, and governments were all part of the Holocaust and explores the reactions of Florida survivors to these events as they unfolded. Check it out, Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development Building. Also, a grand opening happening today, as a matter of fact, Altitude Trampoline Park is bringing the Jump Life to North Florida and celebrating its first location in Tallahassee. This premier trampoline facility is hosting their grand opening today from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you are invited. to jump in, nice pun, for the festivities. The first 100 of you will receive a free membership. Well, that's nice. One per family. The park is located 1925 North Monroe here in Tallytown. This is quoting from CEO of Altitude Trampoline Parks, Mike Rotondo. He says, I'm thrilled to not only bring this great brand to Tallahassee, but also to personally invest in the brand in this community. Our parks offer thousands of square feet of fun in a safe and clean environment. That is the Altitude Trampoline Park grand opening today from 11 to 2, 1925 North Monroe. Thank you for that, Mike. Appreciate it. Also want to make sure you're aware, Tallahassee Food Challenge is now in full swing for 2022. Recall that Tallahassee Food Challenge is challenging you and I to fill a bowl and feed the hungry. Recall that an estimated 62,000, that's 27% of the people living in this county, Leon, are at or below poverty level. So when you look at the fact that schools are faced with the challenge of feeding school children, and those school programs are going to be finishing up for the school year, this is a critical time of year, this next 2 or 3 months. So it's our way of reminding all of us to give generously. We have created this campaign, which now in our 18th year that we've done this, 18 years, a host of sponsors, businesses that fund all of this effort, making it possible for us to run outdoor billboard ads and TV advertising and radio advertising, all of it. Quite a bit of effort and money is spent to bring this news to us and remind us that we can reach out. And this particular campaign reaches close to 500,000 people across 5 counties with this message. Take the challenge, fill a bowl, feed the hungry. Find out more. It's at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. You'll even see there our sponsors, our presenting sponsor this year, Gain Street Pies, which they've done for us the last couple of years. Thank you very much, Gain Street Pies. Great pizza, too, by the way. And then you have people like Truck and Car Concepts and Wayne Fryer, Mobile Homes over there on the west side of town over the Blue Star Highway. Randy and his crew, great, great company, Wayne Fryer. And Witten Glass. We're always grateful for Kathy and her team at Wooden Glass. And Sellers here in Tallahassee, they're on Capitol Circle Northeast. They're the folks that do all the flooring, your carpet and wood and tile, all that good stuff. It's Tommy and over there at Sellers. So thank you, friends, for making it possible for us to carry on our campaign of the Tallahassee Food Challenge. Funding for 2 Leon County projects has been announced, which is very cool. One of those projects is the rebuilding of the Concord School. So this Concord School Restoration Project regards this historic African-American school. If you don't know about this, you can find it pretty easily because there's a very well-written Wikipedia article. The earliest mention of the Concord School was in the minutes of a school board meeting from 1878. And it was mentioned that the teacher's salary, there was one teacher, was getting $20 a month. In 1893 then, 2 Miccosukee women sold a half acre of their land for $1. With the stipulation that a schoolhouse be constructed there. First teachers on record were Lucian Fisher and A.B. Spencer. So then in 1912, the Concord School had grown to be one of the 5 largest African-American rural schools in Leon County and was granted an assistant teacher. So then in the 1930s, the school was enlarged, and during the 60s, it was combined with the Miccosukee School. All of this in the Miccosukee area. The school was closed in 1985 and has fallen into disrepair. Well, this project, federally funded, is going to provide the necessary funds for restoration. Pretty cool stuff. So that is good news, not only for Miccosukee, for us as a county, but for us, I would say, as a people, when we begin to recollect our own history and appreciate what it took for people in that era to push forward, to push past racism and segregation and generations of oppression. And they decided, we're going to have a school. Well, we can decide we want to honor that, and this is our way of doing it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Folks, stay with me. I've got Christian Dozier here in a re-airing of a conversation we had just a short time ago. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
For the last 12 years, Christian Dozier has served the county of Leon as commissioner for District 5, and in serving all of the people in Leon County, she has, should be fair to say, she's probably been on more committees and task forces that she doesn't even now remember. I mean, I don't remember what I was doing this time last week, not alone, you know, mentioned 12 years. But this is a person who just kind of lowers her head and keeps pushing forward. And I happen to live in District 5, so I have a firsthand accounting of her responsiveness, that and her team. Sadly enough, she announced here, when was that, back in October, I suppose, somewhere a few months back, that she wasn't going to run for another term. But because she loves me so much, we asked if she would come and be a guest on the show, and so she is here today. Hello there, Commissioner.
Hello, Brian.
Dozier.
It's wonderful to see you again in person after a long time.
We're socially distanced.
I was about to say, between the plexiglass,
Our plexiglass shields, so if you're worried about us, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a time in this last, I don't know, maybe three or four years where there's been as much heartache, chicanery, rivalries, wrangling going on, and what seems to be, to me, you can help me on this, a kind of grassroots response that now we have people just standing up and saying, wait a minute, we are talking about monies, particularly blueprint tax dollars, that were supposed to be used to help us, I don't know, grow the economy, pave sidewalks or whatever. But now we have special interests that have stepped up, particularly in relation to Florida State University, Doak Campbell Stadium. And here we go. This was the match, it seems to me, that got lit.
Yes.
And it has set off this powder keg. From your vantage point, am I off base here? Is this unusual in your mind that we're seeing this kind of wrangling going on?
I think the tone in politics, local, state, or federal, we see it ebb and flow. And certainly we are influenced by, we are, I will say, suffering from a lot of the same issues we see on the state and federal level. the tone, the discourse, believing that someone, you shouldn't even engage them if they disagree with you,
right,
or running on two different sets of facts. We are experiencing all that on the local level, and that is really disturbing. For a long time, we were buffered from that. We might see it in the more partisan politics of state or federal, but it really has seeped into our local discussion, or lack thereof, I will say. But before we get into Blueprint, because I think that is in the Doak Campbell project proposal, not done yet. I'm going to keep saying that. It's not done yet. We got one more chance on February 24th. We'll come back to that. But I want to just say a quick bit about the last few years.
Yeah.
Anytime you go through as a community, and a lot of communities, we're not alone, have gone through something like the subpoenas and the investigations leading to removal from office, indictments, and now convictions. That, and I'll put this in the city-county perspective, the county had nothing. We never were mixed up in that at all. We never got subpoenas. Nothing. But the lack of trust, what it has done to the people in our community seeing this and wondering if it's really been resolved or if anyone's paying attention to it, that feeling came out on a community survey that the county did for our strategic plan. It impacts us.
Oh, it has sent shockwaves across this community and across the state of Florida, no question about it.
Absolutely. So when we have that environment already, along with a social media, a different kind of tone and everything that we've seen, and then the pandemic, we have the perfect storm of just an us versus them mentality. And we see it on the dais, and we see it everywhere else. So it is a really challenging time. And then we bring in this particular issue, Blueprint, Office of Economic Vitality, Doak Campbell Stadium, in the last 8 months. And I think it lifts up and has exposed a lot of that. And the silver lining, more people are engaged on the question of economic development and why it matters, the good jobs, the opportunities that we've never had before. Then we've never had this many in that conversation.
Right.
That can be something to build on if we make the right choice on the 24th.
And here we have business owners all over this community and around the region, owner-operated businesses screaming that they cannot find able-bodied workers in all kinds of fields, right? And yet, when it comes to mobilizing some kind of effort to encourage workforce development, where are we?
So there are a lot of issues with workforce training, apprenticeships, and really connecting people with good jobs that we suffer from because our state operates different than some other states. So I don't want to say this is entirely because of some of the things we're going to talk about today. On the other hand, we have incredible work being done at TCC, at Lively, at some of our smaller training programs, more independent training programs throughout the county, throughout our region. And they're working really hard. But we should all remember that our region, talking Tallahassee, our three surrounding counties primarily, which is our MSA, we always have less funding, less investment, less population than the rest of the state. So we have to be scrappy. We have to get creative. We have to be collaborative if we want to be successful. And our biggest Achilles heel is working in silos and making decisions based on kind of that gut feeling, the relationships, and not a strategic thinking, a forward thinking look on how do we solve some of these longstanding problems. So I'll just, on the labor shortage, one something I read in November has just stuck with me. So the 2020 census, Leon County's population grew at the slowest rate since 1930. There's probably a lot of factors, but this was not what we anticipated. And it speaks to the labor shortage, but it also speaks to some opportunity. We have people moving here because their homes are flooding in Miami and other places. I added in climate migration into our strategic plan discussion a few weeks ago. We should be prepared for more people to come here. That's a good thing, but we need to think ahead. So this is big, and then we can get to the workforce programs. there are a lot of ways that we could help with that, help build connections. But right. City, county, we've got to have some resources at the table. We can't just talk about it.
It occurs to me, and this just in passing, the recent award, I suppose you'd say, or the distribution of funding that's going to go to TCC mm-hmm. for a school, basically. And then we have the county official talking about how that really represents then a competition for public schooling. That speaks to this whole business of as soon as this group over here begins to make some progress, you got somebody else saying, wait a minute, we don't need them.
Yeah.
We need everybody to be a part of the solution here. So let's just relax a little bit, get to those solutions. We're going to get to more of this. We're going to take a quick break. I've got Kristen Dozier here. She is Commissioner Leon County for District 5, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Commissioner Kristen Dozier is with us, having served the good people of Leon County for these many years. Announced that she's not going to seek another term. I can't imagine why. It's so much fun. And then there has been some talk about you seeking other office in the days ahead. Not sure if you're able to officially make any announcements, but it's been suggested that you run for mayor here in Tallahassee.
It has.
It has been suggested.
So I always thought, and this has surprised some people, because I truly do love public policy. Mm. I am all in. It's been my sole job.
I mean,
the only job that I've had
background academically, if I'm not mistaken, didn't you?
Well,
I mean, you weren't into basket weaving. I think you were doing like public policy stuff back when you were
actually
a little kid.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. Mm. Some friends have shared stories over the years of riding in the carpool, coming home in elementary school, and kids are in the back seat, and I'm up front listening to NPR with their mom. And I don't remember this, but they do. I've been fascinated. I've always wanted to learn things. But
cool.
My degrees were actually in comparative religious ethics, but I did a lot of work in international human rights law.
Wow.
And there was a policy angle.
So apart from what others might think, you really do have a soul. That's remarkable.
I have a degree
Your critics might argue otherwise.
That's it. But I also worked in construction for 11 years. And I left school and was working in construction and sustainable construction and really focused on the balance. We can have a good business and make a lot of money and be
good
conscientious about the environment and our community. So that was really the entree into coming into office. But I was elected at 34. I was sworn in at 35. I always thought that 12, maybe 16 years, if I was fortunate enough to have the backing of our community, would be enough. I truly believe we need to be stewards of these seats that we are elected to and leave at some point to allow new voices to come in. They're not our seats. Mm. So there are some other things that I've been thinking about for some time. But what I've described as kind of a slow drumbeat leading up to November when I made the announcement. Mm-hmm. A few people asking me to run for mayor, more than a few, but, you know, a handful.
Enough to get your attention, let's
say. It got my attention, but I thought, yes, I think there's an issue, and we'll get to that. But I thought others might get in that race. But when I made the announcement on November 10, I was blown away by, one, the assumption by a lot of people that I was automatically going to run for something else because they couldn't imagine that I would get out. And on the other hand, the overwhelming calls and messages that I got and people's support. I mean, it was just incredible. And in one day I had someone on, you know, very conservative and another person very liberal. Both of them reached out to me. So this is, it's really diverse. And I'm going to bring it back to the other subject we teed up in the beginning.
Right.
I had a lot of hope for Mayor Daley when he was elected. We served together on the county commission for a long time. We may not have always agreed, but we both appreciate the process.
Right.
Unfortunately, what I have seen in the last couple of years, what a lot of us have seen, the tone has shifted. But really, Brian, it is about some of the decisions. And Doak is an example of that. For the mayor to say last May, when this issue was first introduced, this is about whether you support the university or not, was a dismissal of any public reaction, of any budget numbers, of any of the details. We hadn't analyzed anything yet.
Yeah.
And on that day in May, he was willing to say, this is it,
right,
or you don't support FSU.
Right.
That is not leadership. It is not good for our community. And yes, this is the reason why I'm seriously considering it. Can't believe I'm going to say that. And I'm going to make a decision in the near future.
Well, we'll be paying attention. And when you do so, be sure to let us know. Don't think we'll have to worry about that news making it to our desk. I want to read a few comments here. This is a post that Commissioner Dozier put up here to last week, February 6th, it says this: it should be very simple, a simple choice. You either support local businesses, entrepreneurs, creating good jobs and growing our economy, or you don't. Why? Because we don't have enough money to support Doak, meaning Doak Campbell Stadium, and keep our promise to create new jobs and opportunities. This isn't about sidewalks. We have other money set aside for that, for infrastructure. This is about growing our economy and investing in our future. That post goes on into greater detail, talking about the close to $27 million that has been proposed be spent out of blueprint, parenthetically, your tax dollars, in helping the good people at Florida State University provide improvements to Doak Campbell Stadium. And she goes on further and asks, is this a good business decision? We would commit 10 times more money to a project that promises to create 1/6 as many jobs. Is that a good idea? Why would we do that, she says.
Yes.
And Danfoss is one of those many examples. How many opportunities will we miss if we go forward on this? Now, this brought about a flurry of responses. And as I read through them, and there's over 100 of them to date, I think most of those were patting you on the back and telling you, hey, thanks for standing up for this issue. When I'm looking at a better than 100 people on a Facebook post jump up and say, doggone it, I've had enough of this. That's the first time I've ever seen that happen.
Let me say a piece of this, the process, how we got here. I am as frustrated and disturbed by it as anyone, as you've just described. But I think it's really important to make a distinction here. FSU, FAMU, TCC, they are phenomenal. We are so lucky to have those three institutions in our community. They are critical partners, and they should be critical partners. I feel like it is really bad that FSU has been put in this position. This was a conflict that didn't need to happen, and we should be working together right now, and we are in many ways. But I believe a smaller group saw an opportunity, saw a precedent, we can get to that, and made a pitch. And with the complicity of some, not all, of folks within Blueprint and or city county management, I have some assumptions about this, but it's really foggy. We don't really know exactly how it happened, which is one of the problems. Mm-hmm. This was brought to us with kind of the implied notion that we had earmarked $20 million for a FSU project. And if we couldn't get the convention center done, then FSU could come to us and say, well, we can't do that, so please invest in Doak Campbell Stadium. Mm-hmm. It does relate to $10 million that the board approved for Bragg Stadium at FAMU. Mm-hmm. I was the sole vote against that for the very same reasons that I'm concerned about Doak, although the need was far greater at FAMU than it is mm-hmm. at FSU. Mm-hmm. So to your point, though, the gut reaction that our blueprint dollars are our tax dollars. We go to referendum. Mm-hmm. We have a list of projects. Now, economic development was a little new. We don't have a full list of projects. Mm. But this is our money. This is how we invest in the community. How could you tell us that we need to invest in a football stadium when it will only benefit a few and not the wider community as promised?
Talking with Commissioner Kristen Dozier, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We've got more coming up, so stay with me.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Commissioner Dozier. And what you're talking about is the process by which those decisions are made and who is it that decides who is going to decide. And that's where I'm concerned about this collusion or whatever going on.
It is that, but it's also our job as your public officials and by extension the staff at City, County, Blueprint, any of our agencies. Mm. It is our job to be 100% transparent.
And they're not.
The decision has to be made with the board and in collaboration with the public. Mm. So the agenda item, when it came to us in May, and this is significant in a piece that has not been brought out, we had directed staff to study, to consider a convention center, which is something contemplated back, you know, before the 14 referendum.
Right.
At our last in-person meeting before shutdown, it was March 12th of 2020, we said, okay, maybe we need to double the amount, maybe $40 million, go figure this out. The kicker is we never had $40 million to commit to this project. It would have wiped the budget out and then some. Mm-hmm. So we didn't even have that information at the time. Hmm. But fast forward to last February, I asked the question, when is the closeout report going to come to us on the convention center? Hmm. I'm already hearing that it's done. The cost had skyrocketed. The local commitment could have been upwards of $80 million. That's what I've been told.
Wow.
And our staff said that report will come in April. Somehow, it was intentionally held until May after the Board of Trustees meeting. And I have never seen an agenda item like this, Brian. I read everything. Mm. It conflated the convention center and Doak Campbell. These are two completely different things.
Right.
And that's what made it look like this is $20 million we earmarked for FSU, and they could make this choice. But they also said there's a precedent with Bragg Stadium. Now, if your local government were to say, if we fund something once, we have to fund every single project that looks like that forever, we'd be out of money in half a second. Mm-hmm. We have to make choices all the time. So from the get-go, this was challenging. You fast forward to where we are now, we've been asking how much will be left in unallocated funds in OEV for 8 months. It has never appeared in one of our agenda items.
Your counterpart at the City Commission, Mr. Matlow, likewise has been saying, time out, folks. Is this really? And something that he put up there last week, I think he said, this is like us taking money that we were going to give to our own family, and we're building a saltwater swimming pool for our neighbor next door.
So I think that is a good description. I didn't see that post from Commissioner Matlow, but I do want to say, and you know, you've got 12 on, you know, electeds on your city and county commission. We can agree in some parts and vote the same way, but have some disagreement. So Commissioner Matlow has put out a list of sidewalks. Maybe this money can go for sidewalks. To me, that complicates the discussion because we have an infrastructure pool of money, as you read in my statement. That's why I added that in there. This money was intended to diversify our economy in a way that we've never had. So I'm going to go to some of the comments that were in this post.
Yes, please.
A lot of the supporters, and like I said before, hearing from a lot of people, we have two different narratives. So I don't think most of the supporters have heard a lot of the information, and that's why I've been sharing it on Facebook, trying to get this conversation going, and I flipped a few people. So they say, you don't understand the impact, the financial impact of these three institutions, and I've even heard they're the bedrock. We're never going to diversify. I saw one comment saying Innovation Park is just, you know, some office buildings. These folks, and I don't necessarily fault them. We need to do a better job of drawing this out. We have made tremendous progress in the last 10 years to open doors to create new jobs that we've never had before. This is a conversation my entire life. So, yes, FSU has a $3 billion economic impact. The studies show that a typical football season, $80 million. That's fantastic. It's not the only game in town. We had an agenda item in December. This is going to blow your mind. It surprised me. The fairgrounds, same methodology. They have a $79 million economic impact every year. That's the tourism. I mean, we have other things. We need to diversify. We're doing a good job. But here's a really simple thing to think about. We committed 12% of a 20-year sales tax to economic development. And we can get a huge ROI when we put up $1 million, $2 million, which is good, much more than DOC. The projected revenue in OEV for 20 years is $117 million. This one project the boosters are putting forward, one of many they've done over the years, this one project is $134 million. They want to spend more on this one project than we will take in the next 17 years.
Wow.
We are locked out of any other revenue generation. I can't go for another sales tax.
I'm reading this here. Blueprint gives 26, if Blueprint gives $26.45 million, let's call it $27 million, to DOC on February 24th, OEV will only have $722,000 uncommitted until 2028.
Yep. And $13 million for the next 12 years.
12 years.
We committed more than that in the first 2 years of the tax to a number of different projects. This is what I'm talking about. We are having a conversation. This is the as echo chambers that we see in so many different aspects of our lives these days.
Yeah.
We have some people who say, my God, you're taking something away from FSU, and the rest of us feel like the rug's been pulled out from under us.
Right.
We love FSU.
Right.
But this is our one chance.
Well, especially when the county sheriff steps up here a few months ago. Was it even just a couple of months ago? And he says
he was back this week.
I want to tell you folks, you know, earth-shaking news. Poverty breeds crime.
Yes.
And among those 04 residents that we all wring our hands about, at least some of us do, the equation isn't that complicated. Speaking of Mayor Daley, the last time he was on the show, I brought that to him about 04 being one of the most impoverished, if not the most, zip code in the state of Florida. And he looked at me and said, well, I want to change that narrative. What the heck does that mean? Change the narrative. Why don't we just change the circumstances and the narrative will follow? Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Anytime we distill something to a talking point, if you will. In this way, I mean it in a good way. 32304 is a good way to identify and highlight how challenging this is and how extreme our poverty rate is in Leon County. Mm-hmm. It is really devastating. Now, you can quibble with that and say that area code also includes student housing, right? But it doesn't mean that we don't have an issue.
No, it doesn't.
So it's broader than 32304, right? And to the sheriff, I asked him a question, and he was back this week. We were taking some action, you know, in reference to the Anatomy of the Homicide report that I encourage anyone to read.
Yeah.
But one of the recommendations in that report, and it's obvious, right, is connect particularly young men, but young people with training and with good jobs.
Yep.
We, again, you mentioned this earlier, the workforce training. Many of us, I and others, have been asking for a discussion with our workforce training partners at our blueprint meeting. That is scheduled for June. If we commit all this money on February 24th, yeah, we can have a discussion in June, but we can't offer to help. Back to the mistrust and the disgust. They just don't want to participate. We have so damaged our public trust that people don't feel like they can speak up on an issue that they vehemently disagree with and goes against everything we have worked for.
Right.
That is why I am posting this on Facebook. I am trying to draw out this conversation because we need to hear from more people. And we need the facts, and we're not getting them from our staff.
Kristen Dozier, our guest today. She is serving faithfully as Commissioner Leon County, District 5. We should give her our hearty thanks. And thank you, my friend, for being here on this occasion.
Brian, I enjoy it.
A pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Folks, it's what we do here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Streaming Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world, playing all local musicians, their original songs all the time. That is the sound of Tallahassee. You'll find them at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.